Winter visitors are back in Yuma County, and some local schools in Yuma and San Luis celebrate the holiday season with special traditions. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Local businesses are welcoming snowbirds back to Yuma County. Some of the business owners say they're noticing less of them around town.
We have some that have not returned, especially our Canadian friends.
San Luis High School held a special Ed Posada recently, and Suverkrupp Elementary has a real-life elf on the shelf.
I really like the tradition that Miss Valentine does every year. It's because that it makes me laugh sometimes. I love how she dresses up.
Those stories, plus an end-of-year conversation with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva, coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Thousands of winter visitors flock to Arizona for the season, but this year many Canadians aren't returning. Civic engagement reporter Alexander Rangel spent some time talking with Canadian snowbirds in Yuma about their concerns and how they're feeling.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel. It's that time of the year in Yuma when the temperatures begin to cool down and winter visitors, often called snowbirds, start making their way back to the desert to spend the season here. Many of these visitors from northern states and Canada, eager to escape the harsh winter weather back home.
How is the weather looking in Wisconsin around this time?
Very cold and snowy, and grateful I'm here in Yuma.
Does that say Burlington?
It does.
Right there says Burlington?
Yes.
Right there is where I live.
The weather, and it's very friendly and lots to do.
But this year, some visitors say they're noticing fewer Canadian travelers.
We definitely had different friends that did not come down. You know, some of them are from Canada.
Several factors could be contributing to the decline. Recent economic tensions, including trade disputes and tariff changes between the U.S. and Canada, have left some Canadians feeling unsettled about returning to the U.S. and spending their money here. A weaker Canadian dollar has also made traveling more expensive for retirees. And earlier this year, the U.S. announced that it would begin enforcing a policy requiring foreign travelers to register any visit lasting longer than 30 days.
Just the fact that the unknown when you get to the border, is it going to be no problem or not? You know, some probably feared or didn't want to go through that process. So,
a report released this week by Statistics Canada showed Canadian visits to the U.S. were down by at least 21% from April to June. A decrease in Canadian tourism has an impact on Arizona, where many Canadians own second homes or choose to spend their winters in communities like Yuma. Still, many longtime visitors have already returned for the season. Donna Basaraba from Alberta, Canada, is one of them. Donna and her husband have been wintering in Yuma for nearly a decade. She says there was no stopping her from coming back.
When did you arrive?
October 20th, I believe. Yep.
How are you enjoying it this year?
Great. Yeah, every year is perfect. Yeah, lots of things to do and it's warm and we'll come back every year as long as our health holds out. Yep.
How are things looking this year?
Seems like a lot of units are for sale. It seems like tourism is down or snowbirds are down a little bit.
What was kind of the sentiment, do you think, for a lot of snowbirds, especially snowbirds from Canada?
Maybe they're disappointed with the government, maybe offended by some of the government. Yeah.
Do you have friends that decided not to return?
Yeah, we have had a few, but sometimes they just get over it and then they come back. Yeah. And sometimes it's a health reason is why they don't return, because we have to buy health insurance, right? So the older you get, the more the insurance costs, and that's usually what the factor is whether you can afford to come.
The Canadian dollar, was that also a big factor? What's going on right now?
Yeah, that's true. I think our Canadian dollar is getting a little stronger versus the American right now, but I don't care.
Do you think that influences the amount of time people decide to come? Maybe it's a shorter stay?
Yeah, if you've got a budget and the dollar keeps going like that, then they choose to stay shorter, yeah. And some people think Mexico is a good place to go. We are not interested in Mexico, but some people have chosen that, yeah.
What about even a crossing through the border? I know there had been talks about that I-94 form and maybe new registration requirements. How did things go for you when you crossed into the U.S.?
We flew because we have a place here, so it's all done for you when you fly. It's just when you cross by land, you have to fill it out.
And what is it about Yuma that keeps you coming back?
I like the size of Yuma. You know, Phoenix, we've been there. We've been lots of places, but the size of Yuma is what I really like. I can drive it. It's not crazy busy traffic. Has everything I need. So that's what I like. And I grew up on a farm. So I love going out and see them farming activities.
The Canada-Arizona Business Council has been tracking how much Yuma exports to Canada. Last year, Yuma exported about $80 million to Canada in goods and services, and roughly 800 jobs in Yuma are supported by Canadian business and tourism. RV parks are one of those businesses in Yuma that rely on winter visitors. Ted Stenson works at Palms RV and Resort. About 40% of their visitors are from Canada. He says they did lose some Canadian visitors this year, but their rentals have been up.
We have some that have not returned, especially our Canadian friends. Once they turn 80, they lose their medical. So, and when you're in a 55 or older community, you're always going to lose people. But we've actually gained two additional Canadian residents over last year. So what we lost, we're on a plus two right now. And our rentals are up about 20% over last year.
What are you hearing from other RV parks? Are they having the same luck?
Some of them are, some of them are not. I think it just depends on the resorts, the rates. You know, different resorts have different rates, different quality of services to offer. I do notice when I drive around, I see vacant spaces.
With it still being early in the season, there's hope that more visitors will make their way through the area, as many don't arrive until after the holidays. Starla, a Canadian visitor from British Columbia, says despite the political tensions and economic setbacks, she's happy to be back in Yuma for a second winter in a row.
We have property in BC, so we couldn't leave it and get away, but we should have done this like 10 years ago.
Really? What is it about Yuma?
Well, the weather for starters, but yeah, and where we're staying, the people are very nice, and both Americans and Canadians, so.
As winter snowbirds continue to make their way to Yuma, one thing they have in common is their love for the desert Southwest.
Sunshine makes everybody happy, and Yuma has got a lot of happy people. We've been everywhere. Yuma's our favorite.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva waited 50 days to be sworn in. She's not wasting time as she settles into her office in Washington, D.C. I spoke with Congresswoman Grijalva this week. She told me her delay to be sworn in has delayed local services in Yuma County. I'm speaking with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, so I understand you're in Washington, so what are you working on currently?
Well, right now I just left education and workforce hearing. They're talking about clarity to financial aid, clarity to student aid, a bunch of different amendments that are going back and forth. And so we had that discussion, and then we go back and vote at 3:00. And in about 15 minutes, I'm going to the House floor to vote on other, laws and those things that have already gone through committees.
We haven't spoken to you since you were finally sworn in, but I understand last week, I believe it was, that you were in Tucson when you came upon an ICE raid at a restaurant in Tucson. Can you remind our listeners what happened?
Yeah. So Scrapo Ito is a restaurant that I go to often when I'm in Tucson, usually like weekly. And so we were on our way to eat and received a call literally when we were on our way about something happening there at Taco Ito. And so I parked right around the corner, got out to see what was happening. And there were like 30 or 40 ICE agents being very aggressive, blocking the road. And so I went up to one, introduced myself, told them, you know, who I was and, you know, can you tell me what is going on here? They said, no, that we're not authorized to do anything. And the city member of Congress is ready to know what federal agents are doing in my community and to ensure that people's rights are protected. Oversight is not optional. It's my job. So what happened that day reflects a very disturbing pattern under the Trump administration. Raids are carried out without any transparency, no explanation, no regard for the community around them. And the ICE agents that I encountered were trying, it was like bullies, like they were trying to aggravate a situation. I'm going to continue to demand answers about, you know, why this location was chosen, whether the protocols were followed, because Southern Arizona elected me to stand up for them. And that's exactly what I'll do.
And so it sounds like the, you know, finding those answers will be something that you will be, as you said, looking for and keeping that dialogue open in terms of, you know, being a representative for the community and getting those answers.
Mm-hmm. That's my job.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask if you have any plans. I know we're coming up on the holidays, but maybe in the early in the new year to come to Yuma County. I know there you've had some swearing in ceremonies in Tucson, I believe, and elsewhere. But if you have plan to have do anything like that here.
Yeah. So I'm planning to be there on the 20th for the Tamale Fest. And then, you know, we're going to go ahead and have a town hall there. And so as soon as I know anything, I'll let you know. And we'll probably sort of roll out information on social media like we did for the two events that were in Tucson and Nogales.
Okay, certainly, yes. I will be at the Tamale Festival.
Yes, it's going to be nice. Apparently, I'm a judge. I'm very excited.
Okay, well, I'll look for you there. Remind our listeners again what you're going to be working on, you know, before the, you know, the session wraps up for the holidays and then in the next year, what you want to focus on.
So we, in the first 2 weeks, co-sponsored nearly 60 legislative pieces of legislation. I signed 7 discharge petitions in addition to the Epstein files. We filed 2 bills, one for Save Oak Flat and the other Right to Read, which is supporting of our libraries. And then we're going to continue to roll out items that protect education, public education, our environment, our rights. Immigration. And so I'm glad to be in the, they all seem to have a touch of all of those.
So I know a little bit about the Save Oak Flat and it has to do with mining, but if you can remind our listeners here in Yuma County, what that specifically is on, because I know that's something that's your continuing work that your father did on that, I believe, correct?
Right. So in 2014, the hearings were not favorable. They snuck it into something that people voted for. And then immediately that next year, my father put in a law similar to this one, protecting Oak Flat. It is sacred. It is not something that should have historically has always been protected. And we have mining companies from outside of the United States, the majority stakeholder, or the People's Republic of China, that want to make this like the biggest copper mine, which will mean the largest source of pollution, huge draw of water, and decimating the sacred area of the Sonopache tribe.
In closing, Congresswoman, is there anything else, any other message you would like to share with our listeners here in Yuma County?
We are just, I just want to let them know that because of the delay in my swearing in, some other things have been delayed, including, you know, including office hours and that kind of thing. I mean, literally, everyone in our staff just got emails like last week. And so I assure you, as soon as I have information, my goal is to have office hours in Yuma County, several locations over several days. And so I just wanted to let people know that I am holding to my commitment to be as present in Yuma and throughout this district as possible. And so I appreciate their patience and their support.
All right, Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva, thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Coming up after the break, KAWC Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer shares how local schools celebrated the holiday season.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
I'm Cisco Stargazer. The holidays are here, and that means lots of festivities. Over in Yuma County, we wanted to get a little taste of the traditions our schools have become known for. In San Luis High School, that tradition's the annual Special Education Christmas Posada and Transition Fair, a night where students with disabilities and without get to perform, receive recognition, and learn about community resources. Special ed teacher Alan Vasquez explained,
"It is their opportunity for them to shine. Our students deserve their moment to be recognized in different aspects, as in like their academics. Some students are work a little harder than others, and that needs to be recognized. Some students, they work hard, they don't get there, but they keep on working, and they need a spot for that to be recognized. There's also some of the awards for some of our individual students that support our students, our peer mentors. They also deserve to be recognized. And it's basically a giant bundle of moments for everyone's actions of the school year to be just recognized."
This year, the Posada featured San Luis High School's Color Guard, Beginning Band, Guitar One class, and students from the Exceptional Student Services Department, among others. ESS counselor and event organizer Yesenia Reynaga Martinez explained inclusion is key.
When we are up there, you know, hosting, we don't use the word special education at any time. We try to be inclusive because we do have students with less needs who just want to fit in. So that's why this year we brought in a lot of the clubs at our school to try and make it more inclusive. You know, like, I'm here for this, but I'm actually here to get recognized as well, you know.
It may seem inconsistent to avoid saying special ed on stage when the event's name features the term, but there's a reason for that.
So the reason why we called it a SPED Posada is because our parents understand that acronym, Special Education Department. But we are trying really hard to transition into the ESS terminology because it's a little bit more positive.
That tracks with our experience speaking with parents that night. They didn't seem to recognize the term as much, but they were excited nonetheless. For the inclusion and the Christmas cheer.
Bueno, lo que esperamos pues son las canciones navideñas y el mirar arreglado de Navidad con la piñata y con los colores, pues se ve muy bonito. Y ya cuando miremos a los artistas ahí con su gorrito navideño, pues nos emocionamos.
That was Rafaela Flores, whose son performed in the mariachi part of the posada. Gabriela Valenzuela was just as excited. Her son led the Pledge of Allegiance, and even though it may seem a lesser role than a musical performance, it was very big for her and her son.
Pues es un logro muy grande para él, más que es muy tímido y muchas veces es difícil hacerlo que participe, pero esta vez tuvo mucha emoción de hacerlo y participó en varias actividades y se involucró, y eso fue un logro muy grande también para él.
If you ask Marcelo, though, it was simply a good moment.
I'm just feeling happy. I like to say something in the stage, doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
The ESS students who performed were helped by peer mentor students. One of them was too shy to share her name, but she did share that it was a happy experience.
They were really, really excited. Yeah, they were really, really excited. They danced really well in the practices, on the stage, when we first went here to the auditorium. It was really nice working with them.
And why do you think events like this Posada matters?
I think this matters because it's memories that they have, that, oh, we dance in, like, La Posada. For the parents to see their children, like, dancing, it really, really nice.
Pulling it off does take some consideration, however, and it depends on considering both the students' and the audience's needs. As the organizer, Yesenia Reynaga Martinez shared some examples.
We've had in the past students with real sensory needs. That's why we try and be inclusive in terms of sounds. And we did try and do the ASL clapping. We do had some students in wheelchairs and some students who use canes who are visually impaired. So we definitely had their related service providers out here working with them actually so that they could get to know the stage and where they were going to walk to and all of that.
And since San Luis is predominantly Spanish-speaking, the Posada was presented in both English and Spanish. In that same spirit of inclusion and accessibility, the transition fair takes place just after the performances and awards. By combining it with the Posada, families not only celebrate their students, they learn about community resources relevant to their needs too. And the parents really appreciate it, not just for the resources, but as one mother, Gabriela Valenzuela, pointed out, for the chance to connect with community.
Importa mucho porque los involucran y los hacen hacer parte de la comunidad, parte de la escuela, y más que nada los alientan a hacer cosas que normalmente no hacen o que los hacen salir de su zona de confort y eso pues también les da más experiencia de vida y pues también a nosotros como papás nos hace conocer otros papás, poder platicar con los maestros, conocer otros maestros, conocer quienes trabajan en la escuela.
The Posada has become a beloved community event.
Aquí en la comunidad se hace en grande cuando es el evento navideño. Entonces, sí es algo común en esta comunidad.
Gabriela explained that's because Christmas time is a special time for San Luis.
We found her!
Over at H.L. Suver Krupp Elementary, kids spent the last week before winter break seeking their very own real-life elf on the shelf around campus. Each morning, Principal Trish Valentin dressed up like the elf and greeted students from a variety of spots, from the roof to the library, and even bicycling around the parking lot.
3 years ago, I saw it on the principal's page on social media, and I thought, well, I'll try it and see how it works with the kids. So I ordered the costume, and once I saw the joy on their faces and how excited they were to see me every day and to find me, I thought, I've got to make this a tradition and do it every year.
That tradition is now 3 years strong. On the day we visited, Valentin was hiding in the library, and the kids were indeed very excited.
I think she's wonderful. I really like the tradition that Miss Valentin does every year. It's because that it makes me laugh sometimes. I love how she dresses up.
I think it's fun for her to do this. It's more like activity for us and to experience new things and other stuff, like how elves can get on other stuff. I think that's fun.
Awesome.
For her.
Is that your favorite thing about this, or?
Like, I like her, like, going on other stuff. Like, every day you learn something new. Maybe something can pop up.
We just heard from Chantel, Alessandra, and Marelli, whose thoughts were echoed by the laughter and grins all the other kids were sharing. And that is exactly why Valentin dresses up in a jingly velvet suit each year.
Those kids' smiles. It just makes every day worth it. When I get up in the morning and I get dressed and I come here and I see them excited, they ask questions, they want to know what I'm doing. It's just the smiles on their faces makes it all worth it.
For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.